Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back to Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman this week. Walker Wildman is in studio with me, AFA Vice President of Operations, and we welcome our usual 1105 agent of news, Steve Jordahl, reporter and news anchor for American Family News. In fact,
you didn't throw the extraordinaire in there.
You know what? I've overused it.
Okay,
I admit it. And you know, if everybody's extraordinary,
then nobody is.
Right?
Walker, do I get a participation trophy for being on TI today?
I guess so, Steve.
Okay, thank you.
You can have a trophy. We got a bunch. We got a thousand of them in the closet in the back.
Right.
Everyone who comes in gets a trophy. All right. We were talking about immigration, and it's
yes.
hard not to. I hope people don't get tired of us talking about it, but it is in the news, and there are things going on all the time because this is a critical issue for our republic. And it is in the news all the time. And so you have some breaking news, and then we've got a couple more stories on this subject before we move on to another topic.
I do. A couple of hours ago, the Trump administration, and this is reading from the Washington Post, decreed sweeping changes to U.S. asylum policy in a move aimed at curtailing the soaring number of Central Americans who have arrived across the border seeking refuge. A joint statement from the Department of Homeland Security and the Department of Justice said the Trump administration on Tuesday, that's tomorrow, will publish an interim final rule. I'm not sure what that is, but it's an interim or a final rule that will sharply restrict access to U.S. asylum system for anyone who did not seek protections from other countries through which they transited before reaching the United States. In other words, you got to start with Mexico. If you're fleeing violence in Honduras and you go into Mexico, you've got to start there. Seek asylum in Mexico because that's the first safe spot.
Right.
It's not
okay,
like,
so if you are from Guatemala and you're trying to get to the United States and you make it to Mexico, you've got to apply for asylum there first.
Well,
or are we talking about Mexican citizens wanting asylum in the U.S.? They've got to go to the American embassy first?
We're not talking about that. We're talking about Central American, Honduras, Guatemala, Venezuela, these people that are coming up. And the way you phrased it, it kind of brings up the point. A lot of these people are trying to get to the United States. That's a little different than trying to flee imminent danger at home.
Right.
In other words, if someone's beating me up in my house, I'm not going to go a mile and a half to a gang member or whatever that I know down there that might be able to help me, I'm going to go to the nearest police station. And that's what they're not doing. So this is the Trump administration is putting into regulation, they're going to start implementing it, that if you are seeking asylum, you have to apply either at the U.S. Embassy in your country, if it's still functioning, like Venezuela, it probably is not, or you have to apply at the first safe country you reach, which in this case would be Mexico.
That is brilliant, Walker, because it cuts open the lie that they're actually seeking asylum. What they really want to do is get to this country so they can have a better life. We've said repeatedly, nobody blames them for that, but abusing the asylum system in order to accomplish that is going to cause the system to break down. So this is brilliant. Now, if you really are seeking asylum, protection from Guatemala or El Salvador, you go to the first safe country and ask there, or go to the American embassy.
Yeah, that's a good rule change. Now, here's my critique of it. My concern is that the illegal immigrants are the immigrants, for they may not necessarily have broken any laws yet, them lying. I'm afraid of now the talking point is going to be, even though you're really from Guatemala, I'm from Mexico. And then the customs agents have no way to verify where they're from. I think if there would be some way to implement this rule, but not just implement this rule, and maybe the customs and border patrol, maybe they have access to some kind of database from these countries and they can run it in against the system, their names, etc. But if we could really just stop everyone at the port of entry and at the border and not accept any asylum claims at the border, even if they're from Mexico, that would help. For example, so-and-so gets to the border illegally, not at a port of entry, in the middle of the desert. They get arrested by Customs and Border Patrol agent. As it stands now, we have to arrest them, take them to the processing facility, and then do their fingerprints, put them in the database, hold them for X amount of days. The vast majority of them get released into the U.S. mainland because of the lack of this rule. But I would like to see everyone who comes to the border illegally get sent back to their country of origin, like, immediately. There's no releasing into the U.S. mainland. You go back pending your asylum claim.
So how about this, Walker? Because I think you'd run into maybe some legitimate problems in places like Venezuela where you might be sending people back to their deaths without, you know. How about if, so Mexico has already started cooperating with the United States about keeping some people on their side of the U.S.-Mexico border. What if, with their cooperation, we sent a couple dozen U.S. Immigration judges down to the Nicaragua-Mexico border where they cross into Mexico? You can apply for asylum here. We're a thousand miles away from the United States border, but you're in Mexico now. You want to apply for asylum in the U.S.? Good. We'll take that application. We will process it. And, you know, you can stay here with Mexico's permission. You can stay here in Mexico.
Right.
They say that about 20% of the people that ask for asylum from a Central American country are granted asylum for legitimate reasons of their safety.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a multifaceted problem. Really, much of it, in order for a long-term solution, we need Congress to act to turn this into federal law or to beef up our current federal law. But President Trump's doing all he can, and the one thing we got to stop is the mass release into the mainland, and that's, I know it's hard to do, but President Trump's doing what he can.
Yeah.
All right. What else we got, Steve, on this?
There was an interesting podcast that happened the other day, and there was a gentleman named Sergio Tinoco, and he was on a podcast on the Conservative Review, I think it was, and he was talking. He is a guy that was an immigrant but grew up, lifted himself up by his bootstraps, as they say here, served in our military and became a Border Patrol agent. So he now patrols the Rio Grande Valley. And he was talking about the life of an agent who is stationed in the middle of nowhere, bring their families down in the middle of nowhere, and they are in dangerous and harsh conditions on the border, often trying to interdict armed people without the ability to confront them likewise. And so he said, you think these are American heroes? No, they're always compared to Nazis. And this is what he said. This border agent said, we have kids and spouses who also hear the comments about being Nazis. Our kids' friends hear these comments. They get bullied at school. They get bullied on the playground. They get bullied at parties. Our spouses have to hear it at their workspaces. It's a sad scene for my wife to go to work. This is what we're doing to the men and women who have signed up. This is not unlike serving in the military. You're serving your country, protecting your country. And this is the way we treat. This reminds me of the way we treat Vietnam veterans back in the 70s.
Right. So these are the families of these Border Patrol agents who already risk their lives because of armed illegals, armed coyotes, armed drug dealers, and people trafficking in drugs, and trafficking in human beings.
Yes.
Sex trafficking, okay? Yeah. So these poor border agents are not only in these situations handcuffed three ways from Sunday, not giving sufficient materials and money to do their jobs, not having sufficient staff to do their jobs, Border Patrol agents, because of what's happening in Congress with the Democrats stonewalling any kind of help. But now their families are abused and vilified as the Border Patrol agents are called Nazis. This is a disgrace. The left is disgraceful. We've said this numerous times. This is not the genuine liberals of the Democratic Party of yesteryear. These are fascists and socialists and people who hate this country. This is what we get when leftists want to dox a high school student
right.
and try to create havoc and even danger for these people. The left is unhinged.
But don't tell me that they don't love their country. They do. And in fact, they love it more than you do. I want you to hear what Ilhan Omar, the congresswoman from
Minnesota,
said at the Netroots Nation conference. She said
now that's a far leftist.
It's a left gathering. Progressive conference, a political action conference. And this is what she had to say on the heels of President Trump's tweets about her and others. Cut nine.
Something that I get criticized for all the time is that I am anti-American because I criticize the United States. I believe, as an immigrant, I probably love this country more than anyone that is naturally born. And because I am ashamed of it continuing to live in its hypocrisy, that I work so hard to make sure that others who've had why just be American? Why don't you be more like an American? Can continue to say that. Why can't you be more like an American? Because it used to be a very positive thing. You know, if you ask anybody in walking on the side of the street somewhere in the middle of the world, they will tell you America the Great. But we don't live those values here. And so that hypocrisy is one that I'm bothered by.
She's bothered by the hypocrisy of this racist.
So let me see if I understand this, Walker. What Congresswoman Omar is saying is that we are not living up to our ideals because we don't do things the way the left wants us to do it.
Hmm.
If we were regressives like them, and I've just adopted regressive.
It fits.
Brian Fisher or whoever, maybe Abraham Hamilton III started calling them. It's true. They're not progressives, not really. They're progressive by label only. They are actually regressives. But because we don't push this country towards a more socialist direction, that's why we're not living up to America's ideals.
Yeah.
That's their perspective.
Yeah, it is. And it's really, you know, it's one thing and Do I expect everyone to agree with everything America does? And then the question arises: what are you looking at? You're looking at policy, or you're looking at culture? But the idea that America is great and has great potential and has every country has its problems, but overall we're the greatest country on earth. Name a country that's better. Nobody. When you base it on the Constitution and liberty and freedom and free speech, etc., when you use that standard, we are the best country. But if you base it on a socialist mindset, on a communist mindset, then yeah, we're not the greatest country because the government doesn't have control of everything.
Right.
So it's all about the how you look at it.
That's the mindset of these on the far left, like Omar and AOC.
It is
that they believe we're not living up to our values because we're not doing what they believe we should do.
Particularly, they've been upset about what's going on at the border and calling everybody Nazis. I hate to do this, folks. We don't like to play white supremacists and Nazis, but I'm going to play one of them because I think it's instructive. This is one of the white supremacists, apparently, according to AOC and others, and Nazis talking about what we need to do at the border. This has got 10.
Undocumented workers broke our immigration laws, and I believe that they must be held accountable, especially those who may be dangerous. That's why over the past 6 years, deportations of criminals are up 80%. And that's why we're going to keep focusing enforcement resources on actual threats to our security.
Well, that white supremacist sounds an awful lot like President Barack Obama.
It is. In fact, who is advocating the very same things that of those ICE raids that started last weekend. That was what he said we need to do more of.
Walker, if President Trump said that,
yeah,
AOC would accuse him of being racist. Good grief. AOC would accuse Nancy Pelosi of being racist.
In fact, she did.
Yes. But because that's President Barack Obama and he's African-American, then he can't be racist.
Yeah.
So we're going to actually support his policies under his administration.
Yeah.
But not when it's President Trump.
Yeah, the left.
Extraordinary.
Yeah, the left has completely smeared the term racist and its actual meaning. Because what President Trump's policy is, his policy position has zero to do with the person's ethnicity or skin color. He doesn't like whether they're white, black, or purple crossing the border illegally. And at least that's my position. I don't care whether it's a European, a white European that flies to Mexico and then crosses the border illegally.
Right.
They shouldn't be let in. So it just happens to be that the vast majority of them do have a brown skin color, a little bit darker than mine.
Because that's who we share the border with.
Right, which makes sense. And the vast majority of those countries are poverty-stricken. The criminals run the country, basically. And that's why many of those people are fleeing to America, because they want freedom, once again, because we're the greatest country on earth. But it has nothing to do with skin color. And now, are there people out there that are racist and they don't want immigrants in our country because they're racist? Sure. But that's not the position of the vast majority of Americans who just want simple border control.
Yeah. There's not a whole lot of people that aren't the little bit brighter than us.
Yeah.
As far as skin tone.
You're talking about skin tone, yes, when you say brighter.
Well, and intelligence wise. Can I change the subject for a couple minutes?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm tired of talking about immigration, so let's go.
I want to talk about Beto O'Rourke. Oh, poor Beto. Beto is the wokest candidate that will never get elected to anything. He has come out, and I guess before somebody outed him, he says and found out the other day that his ancestors owned slaves. And he did a big mea culpa in a magazine, showed the article, and says now he has a new appreciation of what reparations mean and everything. But his paternal great-great-great-grandfather, Andrew Cohen Jasper, and his maternal great-great-great-grandfather, Frederick Williams, most likely owned slaves. Now, this is not the first time that he has had a public apology, a mea culpa. I just found a couple of them on the 15th. He had to apologize for being part of a hacker group that did malware and when he was in high school. And 3 days later, on the 18th,
oh my goodness,
he had to apologize for saying that his wife was raising the kids while he was away, and it kind of painted her in a domestic light, which just doesn't go if you're a woke, good socialist. On April 24th, he said that he was so sorry that he got caught in a DUI and leaving the scene of an accident. And then on May 15th, he had to apologize for being on the Vanity Fair article cover and saying that that shows his privilege and that might have alienated people of color. I'm not sure why, but he did. And now he is apologizing for owning slaves. He is very self-aware. But as far as a candidate for president,
I understand he also apologized for the fact that vanilla ice cream is his favorite.
He might have.
Because that's also white privilege.
Yes.
That's vanilla privilege amongst ice creams. Listen, did you say in there that he apologized for a DUI and leaving the scene of an accident?
Yes.
That's serious.
Yes. It is.
Wow.
He claims he didn't, but records show that he did leave the scene. But he admits to the DUI. Yeah, he's so white that he likes vanilla ice cream with white chocolate sprinkles and marshmallow sauce.
You know what he might be doing here? Seriously? He may be jumping ahead of his opponents and their oppo research.
He might be getting tipped
off on his Democratic opponents doing oppo research on him, and they're going to release this information. And he might just be getting ahead of the game.
He's dragging his skeletons out of the closet.
Yeah, on his own, so that he can say he did.
But now, the only thing on there that's of any consequence to me is the fact that he is admitting to the DUI.
Yeah, sure.
And especially leaving the scene of an accident.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
no,
that that's
is serious.
Bad.
But
that's
everything
serious.
Else, you're right, is all social justice structures of the left –
But that, he's not all that high up there in the polls, though, is he? I mean, amongst Democrats.
Oh no.
Yeah.
No, no, he's trying to
climb out of the basement.
He's digging. He's not climbing out. He's digging. He doesn't know it, maybe, but he is digging.
By the way, folks, I am, when it comes to ice cream, I am an equal opportunity devourer.
There you are.
So I just want everyone to know I love vanilla. I love chocolate. I love strawberry. I even love mint chocolate chip, which is kind of my favorite. So that's green. So
you're a Martian. You're pro Martian.
I'm pro Martian.
There you go.
All right.
Hey, I wanted to just end with a couple minutes. We talked a little bit, I think, about this Mississippi governor's candidate. His name is Robert Foster, and he got in trouble the other day for saying that he wouldn't. He wouldn't take a woman reporter on an all-day excursion with him in a car alone because he was going to be campaigning, and she was assigned to shadow his campaign. He was claiming the Billy Graham rule. I want you to listen to about a minute of Robert Foster. The clip starts with his appearance on CNN, and the woman's voice you hear there is Larison Campbell, who is the reporter.
This is my truck. This is my truck, and in my truck, we go by my rules.
You said it's a precaution. Is it that you didn't trust Larison, or you didn't trust yourself? I'm confused here.
I trust myself completely, but I don't trust the perception that the world puts on people.
Look, we got to call this what it is. When a woman isn't given access to the same things that a man would be given access to, it's sexism.
And Representative, just yes or no, you don't deny you would give a man this access, yes?
I would, and I stand my ground. I simply requested that they send a male counterpart with the reporter, if it's going to be a female reporter, to ride along with us so that there would not be an opportunity for me and the female reporter to be alone in my vehicle. That is just a practice. They refer to it as the Billy Graham rule, or now the Vice President Mike Pence rule, of not being alone with another female that is not my wife. That is a vow that I've taken with my wife and something that I've always practiced in business and personal life and now in my political life.
So that last part of him was an interview that he did with Brian Fisher on Focal Point the other day.
Which, by the way, Brian Fisher is en route to Brian and Debbie Fisher, en route to their new home in the
Seattle area.
In the Seattle area. So you'll be hearing Brian again doing his program when they get set up. Now, this is craziness, and I'll tell you, you're not going to be able to explain to the world in a way that convinces them when it comes to Christian morality. And now, who's the candidate again?
His name is
Robert Foster.
Robert Foster, yeah.
Okay, here in the state of Mississippi.
Yeah.
Okay, so he is trying to explain why it is important. I have the same rule. Mm-hmm. When I was a pastor, I still have the same rule. I'm not going to go in a car, for example. I heard a pastor one time tell me, as a young minister, if you are seen driving in a car with a woman who's not your wife, the first person who sees you will say, "Hey, there's Brother Ed going in a car with so-and-so, a woman." And by the time it gets to the third or fourth person, "Hey, there, Brother Ed is going with so-and-so."
Yeah.
And you just have to protect your reputation, the reputation of your wife and your marriage, the reputation of the woman you're with. And if the world doesn't understand it, too bad.
Exactly.
We answer to Jesus Christ, and our first job is to honor him and glorify him.
That's what he did. But I will say that it's a little easier now to defend this in light of the Me Too movement, where even the world understands that a man is in a no-win position. He's sexist if he says don't come, and he could be accused of something
falsely.
If he says do come, falsely accused.
And by the way, I'm not. I didn't mean that as a criticism of Robert Foster.
No. Yeah.
For defending it to the world, but you're going to get the snickers. Yep. Like you had from the CNN people.
Now I want a Snickers bar.
Snickers bar. All right, folks, that's all the time we have. More great programming directly ahead on American Family Radio.
Hey, there's